Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nonprofit View, a forum where nonprofit stakeholders can share lessons learned and discuss the latest developments in the industry. My name is Valerie Leonard, your host. I'm a consultant in nonprofits, and I specialize in community and organizational development. I work with nonprofit organizations to help them make a stronger impact to their clients and communities. You can find Nonprofit View on Facebook and Twitter, and I encourage you to comment early and often using the hashtags Nonprofit View, Donors Forum, or Building a Movement. You can also leave comments on blogtalkradio.com/nonprofit_you. The chat room is open, and you can post comments and questions. In order to use the chat room, you must open a listener-only account. You'll find a link to open the account on the episode's page, and you can also email me questions at valeriefleonard.com or consulting at valeriefleonard.com, or you can send messages through Facebook and Twitter. You'll find a Nonprofit You fan page on Facebook, and the Twitter account is at Nonprofit You. Taking questions by phone and from our chat room at about the 20-minute mark, and the call-in number is area code 347-884-8121. Today's episode is Building a Movement, Strengthening the Nonprofit Sector Through Advocacy and Action. We'll discuss ways nonprofit organizations can work to strengthen the sector through policy, advocacy, and action. Again, we encourage you to call in with questions and participate in live chats at about the 20-minute mark. The call-in number is 347-884-8121. Nonprofit professionals are especially encouraged to call in and share your war stories and strategies. Today's guest is Eric Weinheimer. He's the president and CEO of the Donors Forum, and this is a position he's held since July 1, 2014. From 1996 to 2014, Eric was the president and CEO of the CARA program, a nonprofit that provides comprehensive training, job placement, and support services to individuals who are homeless and struggling in poverty. Eric earned a BS from Boston College and an MBA from the University of Chicago Booth School of Business, where he was awarded the Distinguished Alumni Award for Public Service. Eric was selected as a member of the Emerging Leaders Program for the Chicago Council on Global Affairs, class of 2011. Eric was selected as a Chicago Community Trust Fellow for 2013, and he was appointed by Illinois Governor Pat Quinn to the Social Innovation, Entrepreneurship, and Enterprise Task Force. He serves on the Advisory Board for the Social Enterprise Initiative at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business, and he also serves on the Boards of Directors for Streetwise, the Social Enterprise Alliance, both on the national and Chicago chapters, and the Oak Park River Forest Community Foundation. I was surfing the internet and stumbled on another tidbit, Eric, that you're a jazz pianist. So welcome. It's amazing. I don't know where you find the time to do all that you do, but I'm glad that you do it. And
Valerie,
I'm going to clarify.
I'm an aspiring jazz pianist. I take jazz piano lessons, so I just want to be. I have to come clean on that.
Okay. I love it. Aspiring. Okay. So welcome aboard, and thanks for joining us. And
thank you, Valerie.
Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about the Donors Forum?
I sure can. The Donors Forum has been around for over 40 years, and it was started, as the name indicates, as a forum for donors to come together, share best practices, share stories, network, and it has evolved into what it is today. And it is the only regional association in the country that brings together not only grant makers, but also nonprofits, their advisors, into this integrated membership model. We have 1,100 members, including the MacArthur Foundation, Chicago Community Trust, as well as startup nonprofits. So we have a very diverse membership. And I think that's our strength. And as a result of this diverse membership base and this integrated membership model, we have the platform from which we can start to build a vibrant social impact sector. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But the idea is, how do we strengthen the sector? And so we provide education, advocacy, we provide a lot of project management, research, to allow all of our members to do their best work and maximize their impact.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. I see that we have a caller who joined us, and we're going to open it up for questions at about the 20-minute mark. I just want to manage expectations for the caller. And before we go on, Eric, I also understand that when you joined the Donors Forum, your friend, Kate Mayer, she's the president and CEO of the Greater Chicago Food Depository, she gave you marching orders, for lack of a better term. She said, get out there and create a movement. Can you share some of the ways you've taken her directive to heart, and will the revolution be televised?
Well, we certainly are hoping the revolution's not only going to be televised, but people are going to have a firsthand experience because they're going to be actively engaged in this movement. And, you know, I loved that that advice that Kate gave to me. And the idea is, you know, how do we harness all the energy and all the ideas that we have from our 1,100 members? And, you know, there is such power and there's such opportunity and possibility when we bring all these diverse folks together with the idea of building and creating a sector, you know, an ecosystem, so that whoever you are, whether you're a grant maker or a nonprofit, also whether you're a social entrepreneur or an impact investor, we're continuing to engage them into our missions. But, you know, this idea of how do we create the ecosystem so that you can, you know, serve your mission and you can maximize your impact. And because of who we are and our unique nature, we're positioned to do that. So one of the things that we've done is we've identified specific initiatives that are important to our members, such as increasing individual giving here in the state of Illinois. Historically, individuals who make up the largest portion of philanthropy, they have given 2% of their adjusted gross income. For the past 50 years, it really hasn't moved. And so how do we create a movement? How do we create a movement in which we increase the amount of individual giving that is invested into charitable organizations? And so we started a campaign called I'll Give, which is on Giving Tuesday, and it is a campaign in which we're helping charitable organizations to raise money from new donors on Giving Tuesday. Last year, we started this campaign called I'll Give. It was December 2nd, and we helped a little over 400 charitable organizations raise a little over $4 million from 5,000 new donors. This year, we want to help charitable organizations raise over $6 million from 7,000 new donors on Giving Tuesday, which is December 1st. And so I think it's really important that if we're going to, you know, create, it's not just one movement, but it's a number of these movements focusing on attracting more money into the sector. It's focusing on developing talent and making sure that people who are working in our sector have what it takes to navigate these challenging times. Whatever it is, it's a movement that really helps our members do their best work, that it has very specific goals, and it really has a diverse level of engagement and a lot of organizations engaged.
Oh, that's great. Now, that is revolutionary. So speaking of revolutionary,
I'd like to think it's certainly very innovative. We're one of the few associations of the country that are working on this campaign around Giving Tuesday. So just one plug to the people listening, I encourage you to sign up. It's free. The money goes directly to you. It does not come through Donors Forum, but we provide the marketing support. We provide technical assistance, social media outlets. We're providing, working with a number of foundations to provide some matched funding for their grantees. And so I really encourage those listening to sign up. You can go to www.ilgive.com.
Okay, so if you're a nonprofit organization, you can go to www.ilgive.com.
Correct.
Sign up. Okay, and then when they sign up, they get the technical assistance and marketing support and all that good stuff. Is that correct?
Exactly. And again, they're part of this movement.
Mhm. Oh, that's great. We definitely need something like that right about now, especially in the state of Illinois. You know, we're going through a very rough budgeting period, and maybe we shouldn't say budgeting period. maybe the period is beyond a year. The governor and the legislature, they're trying to come to some agreement, at least that's what they tell us, as to how to close, at this point, I believe it's a $4 billion budget deficit, and maybe more. And social service agencies are seeing funding cut significantly, some of it unilaterally. The Donors Forum is the leading voice for philanthropy in the nonprofit sector in Springfield, which is the capital of Illinois. So can you share an update on the legislative and financial climate and let us know how nonprofit stakeholders can get involved?
Well, you are correct, Valerie. This is an unprecedented situation where we don't have a budget for such a long period of time, and we don't know when we will have a budget. And so this is a very rough period for all of us in our sector, all of us, quite frankly, in our state. And unfortunately, nonprofits, those that are the backbone organizations in most communities, they're at the head of the pin. We started a new fiscal year back on July 1st. Nonprofits that receive grants and contracts from state government to serve the needs of the most vulnerable are trying to figure out how long they can hold on. And and as you've likely seen in the news, some have already shut down programs. Others are on the verge of doing so. And so we've been working with our members. We have we talk about a movement. We have an initiative that is focusing on protecting funding for our sector from the state budget. And we have been working with our members to highlight the impacts on our sector and the families and the communities that our sector serves. And we've also been working with our foundation members to make sure that they understand the state government, they understand that grant makers do not have the resources to fill that $4 billion gap. And I think that is something that we need to make sure that, you know, certainly foundations can support nonprofits in a variety of ways, given what's going on, but they cannot fill the gap. So there are a couple things that nonprofits can do to have an impact. Number one is be proactive and meet with your state representative and senator. If you don't know who your state representative and your senator is, then you need to make it a point to find out who that is and schedule an appointment with them. Tell them how the state's failure to pass a budget that adequately funds the work of our sector. Tell them how that failure to pass the budget is impacting their district, their voters, and make it very personal for them. That's number one. So share your story. And number two, take a position, if you have not already done so, that the state must include new revenue in the fiscal year 2016 budget. We cannot cut our way out of this fiscal crisis. And I think the more people who are sharing that position, and the more that state legislators can see the impact that it's having on their communities, I think, you know, there's a small but more of a chance that we're going to move beyond the impasse. The unfortunate thing is this is really a unique situation, as you and I have talked about. It's a very unique situation.
Right.
The traditional forms of advocacy have not worked up to this point. That, however, doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue to try.
Yes, yes, yes. Nothing beats a can't but a try.
That's exactly right.
Right, and to put things in perspective, I was reading that what the state provides about $28 billion in grants and contracts, and compare that to how much does the philanthropic sector provide typically to nonprofits?
In the state of Illinois, around $2 billion.
Right. So clearly, you know, as you were saying, the private sector can't be expected to fill in that huge hole.
Exactly.
Okay. So Chicago African Americans in Philanthropy, or CAAIP, is one of your sponsored projects. CAAIP was created to promote dialogue between philanthropic organizations and agencies serving people of color. They also advocate for investment by African Americans and build infrastructure for equitable leadership roles in philanthropy. They've done listening tours in several communities around the city as they develop their own strategic planning process and initiative. Can you share any updates from their work and how they've managed to increase the level of engagement of African American-led organizations, particularly in this current funding environment? And also, how might African American nonprofit stakeholders get involved?
Well, quite frankly, Valerie, we have some work to do in this area. You know, the research is clear that organizations, any organization, businesses, you know, charitable organizations, it really doesn't matter, that these organizations are more effective when there is diversity at all levels of its structure, all of its governance, its practices. And so the work of CAPE is very much in line with our own, Donors Forum's own strategic initiative, in which we too are promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion in philanthropy. So Donors Forum has been focusing on this issue for many, many years. We were one of the founding organizations for the D5 Coalition, which is a national effort to move the needle on getting more representation, not just representation, but also equity in philanthropy. And but here locally, what we've done is we have built off of the work that has been done in the past, and we have organized a movement, a diverse, multi-sector group of 30 individuals who are building a project plan. They're developing long and short-term goals over the next 5 years. We're identifying champions that are going to help us to, enhance. Diverse representation on boards, trustees, also to get more diversity in women-owned and minority-owned investment managers, also enhancing the cultural competency of foundations on this issue of diversity. And so we've built this multi-sector group of 30 individuals who are coming up with an action plan, identifying champions, and with the ultimate goal of philanthropy becoming more effective and more impactful. And so as far as your listeners, we would invite those organizations to get involved in this strategic initiative, our Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Philanthropy Initiative, whether they're in the nonprofit sector or the philanthropic sector. But we would love for them to be involved and be actively participating in our working group.
Okay, great. So is there a website or a contact that they might follow up?
There most certainly is. So my colleague Delia Coleman here at Donors Forum is leading this Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in Philanthropy strategic initiative. Okay. And she is at dcoleman, C-O-L-E-M-A-N, at donorsforum.org.
Okay, great. Okay, so I got that. All right, now with respect to the Donors Forum itself, you guys also start your 3-year strategic plan, and you call it Engaging for Impact. And you start that process about a year ago, as I understand it. And one of the things that struck me in your approach is the fact that you developed a process that's heavily dependent on the level of engagement of your members as well as your nonprofit stakeholders. And, you know, normally folks just kind of do this stuff in a vacuum. So can you share an overview of the plan and then give us an update on your progress in the implementation?
Absolutely. Well, the plan, it's a new framework, and we're focusing on 4 key areas: attracting investment to the sector, developing top talent, I mentioned those earlier. We're also talking about enhancing systems and policies, and increasing the organizational capacity of our members. And with this plan, what Donors Forum has done is moved from a traditional association, membership association, into an organization that's about building the sector. Rising tide lifts all boats. Well, how do we to rise that tide? And we do it by focusing on those 4 goals: investment, talent, enhancing systems, as well as increasing organizational capacity. And so, like I'll Give, like our Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Working Group, we've established working groups around key components within each of those four areas that I highlighted, you know, around initiatives that are going to help us to do those four things. So, we, you know, in addition to I'll Give and diversity, equity, inclusion, and philanthropy, we're focusing on the real cost issue and making sure that more of foundations consider the real costs of doing this work. And so we've got a very diverse group focusing on building understanding as well as making sure that foundations cover more of the real costs of fulfilling mission. You know, this notion of streamlining government grants, that's another very important issue that if we can help nonprofits, have to fill out only one or two audit reports or, you know, contracts with the state instead of 10, it's going to save them time and it's going to allow them to allocate those administrative resources more towards their direct services. And so we're working with the Governor's Office of Management and Budget to create, streamline those government grants. So we have about 10 of those initiatives that we have established that build off of the framework of our strategic plan so that we can build a vibrant sector here in the state of Illinois.
No, awesome. Well, it's 2:20, and I do see that we have a caller. I'll see if this caller wants to make a comment, and if not, we will continue. But if there are people who have questions, feel free to call in. The number is 347-884-8121. Okay, so there's a caller whose number is 312-235-8000. Are you here? Do you have a question, or you're just listening?
Hi, thanks so much. Hello? Yes, hi, my name's Andrea. I'm calling from the Chicagoland area, and I just wanted to thank you so much for your time today. This has been some great information. I don't have any questions at this time, but I appreciate you taking the time to share all this insight with us.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling. That makes me feel good. I don't know about Eric.
It does, absolutely.
Okay, great. Thank you. We've got a couple more questions for Eric, and maybe you'll have more comments or questions by the end. So don't hang up, okay?
Okay.
All righty, so Eric, I understand that Donors Forum also leads Good Works Connect, and that's a network of community foundations and nonprofits in Central Illinois. I guess the first question is, do you need to be based in Central Illinois to be a part of that? And then, even if you should be, can you tell us more about that? That might be something we could replicate, you know, in Northern Illinois.
Well, one of the things that we want to emphasize is that Donors Forum is a statewide organization. Most of our members, as you can imagine, are in the Chicagoland area. But we're a statewide organization. We think that there is tremendous, you know, leverage that we can have when we build this network across the state of the foundations and the nonprofits and their advisors. And so Good Works Connect was introduced a couple of years ago with the idea of focusing on a specific part of the state outside of Chicago. And we chose the East Central Illinois area, Champaign, Springfield, Effingham, and Decatur, those four communities. And we provide, you know, workshops, and we're providing networking, we're providing some technical assistance, and we're working with community foundations in those four areas to help their nonprofits to increase their capacity and further their impact. And so this is the real concerted effort focusing on one part of the state, and then the idea is we want to expand that, and we want to build off of that and you know, move to West Central Illinois and then Southern Illinois. So this is going to be a step-by-step process. We have an office down in Springfield, which is really important for us to have the access to the state capitol, and also to have a physical presence down there for our folks in downstate Illinois so we have a better understanding of what their needs are. So, again, I think that you're going to see over the next few years, Donors Forum really build off of this platform that we've established in East Central Illinois to really establish a strong presence throughout the state.
Oh, wow. That's really exciting. So
it is.
You talk about When you talk about a movement, you really mean a movement. This is unprecedented.
That's exactly right.
So what advice would you give emerging nonprofits on how to survive through tough times and, you know, realizing this is a new normal, but what advice can you share?
I think the key word that I would have for all of those who are focusing on mission right now is focus. Is really be focused on what are those core services that you must provide to the people who you are privileged to serve, the communities that you are serving, and really take a hard look at this. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you cannot put 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag. And the reality is that many nonprofits, that's what we do. We're under-resourced, mm-hmm. and so the need is so great that we extend ourselves. But now in these tough times, we have no choice. It's not sustainable, and we're not serving anybody if we don't stay focused. And so we need to start thinking about strategic partnerships with other nonprofits. We need to start thinking and considering, does a merger make the most sense with other complementary, mission-aligned organizations? And so I think that's the first thing, is focus on those core services, focus on the mission, and consider strategic partnerships that may help mm-hmm. your mission go further, even though it may change your specific organization. That, quite frankly, is difficult advice for nonprofits to hear, but these mm-hmm. are really unique times, and we need to respond because our communities desperately need what we have to offer. And then the second issue that I would like to suggest is this notion about focusing on, as best you can, staying very focused on the work that you have to do and let all this background noise be just that, background. It's very mm-hmm. easy to get caught up in, with fear and worry. But I think if we really keep our heads down and we really be strategic and think about what's best for our mission and more importantly for communities, I think that, we will be well served to do that.
No, that's really critical, and I thank you for sharing that. So I guess along those lines, are there three lessons that you've learned in your advocacy over the years?
Yes, there are. Number one, advocacy is about relationships. I think mm-hmm. it can be a little bit intimidating for people if the first time you're talking to an elected official. Oftentimes we reach out to elected officials when we need something. And
right.
that, quite frankly, is the wrong approach. We need to be talking to them, getting to know them. They need to understand who we are, what we do, how we serve our constituents.
Mm-hmm.
We need to approach it the way we approach cultivating a new donor. So that's number one,
okay.
it's about relationships. Number two is be able to relate your story to the policy issues you care about. Your story is unique to you. And that's one of your most powerful tools for systems change. So to connect the work of your organization to the big picture issues, the state budget or the other substantive policy issues, because those stories, people remember stories. And the better mm-hmm. able you are to make that connection, the more effective you will be and the more that they will share those stories with others. And then the third thing is the importance of educating your board. We need to make sure that your board understands why advocacy is critical to your organization achieving its mission. We need to help them understand the do's and don'ts and how policy issues impact your day-to-day work. You want to make them the champions of your advocacy work. And certainly Donors Forum provides classes to help you do that. But I think the boards are so underutilized, and obviously they are very much invested in the mission. We need to leverage them much, much better than we have been.
Oh, yes. And it looks like we have another caller. Let me see if this caller wants to comment. There's a caller whose number is 312-675-0240. Did you call to listen or did you have a comment?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, I've been listening, and it occurred to me as Eric was talking about getting boards to understand the importance of advocacy, and that first thing also really about focusing, being focused on their core services, and to think about strategizing with other partners and maybe even merging. I'm just wondering, when you've made those recommendations, perhaps you had to, after assessing the situation or talking with a group, suggest they consider merging or partnering. Have organizations been open to that, or have you found some pushback or resistance because everyone wants to be doing their own thing?
I think it's very normal that it's, you know, the idea of strategic partnerships and mergers, it's a difficult conversation because this work that we do, for it's very personal. People are involved in this work because they're passionate not only about the mission, but oftentimes they're passionate about the organization. They know the founder. They're friends with the founder, and so that there's this uncomfortable position that we're in, like, ugh, it might be best for us to consider a strategic partnership, but don't want to offend the founder. At the same point, I think that given the very difficult situation that we're in our state, I think out of necessity we must be having these conversations. It's no longer optional, and quite frankly, it's not personal. It's all about how we are serving our communities. And I think, so when we're having those conversations, first of all, you should have those conversations with your board. And I would identify, quite frankly, key allies and champions who say, we need to have this conversation. Can you help me? If I'm an ED, can you help me, board member, in having this conversation, introducing it, because it's our communities are depending upon us. So I think it's identifying who could be those allies in at least having that conversation so that you're not having to do it yourself.
Great. Thank you. The follow-up question, you talked about the areas that you're targeting across the state, east central, then going to west central. Is it more... is it easier for groups in an urban area such as Chicago to identify strategic partners or major, maybe even possible merger opportunities than in those areas that are farther out, downstate or elsewhere?
I think so. Just by, you know, just the whole geography. You know, when you're spread out in you know, more rural communities, you know, is there overlap in your target market?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does that look like? So much of our work is community-based. And so I think in Chicago or in a large metropolitan area, there is a tendency where there is more of an overlap and there is more, you know, easier accessibility and transportation. So I think I would think it would be easier in a metropolitan area to consider those strategic partnerships versus a more rural area.
All right, great.
That being said, it needs to be considered.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Wherever you are, it doesn't make it any easier, does it? We all get
no.
So caught up in our own identities.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, well, it's about, 2:32. I want to see if there are any more questions out there. I did give us a little bit more time. I hope you have at least one or two more minutes that you can spare in the event that there's a question. Okay, great. Okay, so if there are any more questions, the call-in number is 347-884-8121. Andrea, is that your name? Okay. I don't know if she heard me. I just wanted to give her an opportunity to ask any questions if she had any. But it doesn't seem that we have any more questions, and we have come to the end of our show. I want to thank Eric Weinheimer, the president and CEO of the Donors Forum, for being our guest today. And Eric, would you care to share any parting thoughts and tell us how we can reach you?
I would love to have people reach out to me, E. Weinheimer, E-W-E-I-N-H-E-I-M-E-R, at donorsforum.org. That being said, I did want to let people know that we are changing our name effective tomorrow. Well, effective
Wednesday.
Yeah, so
okay.
Donors Forum, after 41 years, is going to be changing its name. And why?
Speaking
because
of change.
Yeah, it's huge change because we're changing it because we're no longer just a forum for donors, But as I mentioned earlier, we have a very diverse membership. So do be on the lookout for a new name and a new website for Donors Forum, and we will be sharing that with everybody.
Oh, my goodness. So you can't announce it here. We have to wait, right?
Valerie, I can't. I want to, but I can't. I've been sworn to secrecy.
Okay. All righty. So, oh, my goodness. Change. This hurts.
It's all good. Oh, Valerie, it's all good.
Okay. All righty. Good. Well, thank you for listening to Nonprofit U Blog Radio Talk Show. Be sure to tune in next week. As you know, we're at blogtalkradio.com/nonprofit_U. The show will be available for download within about an hour. And be sure to tune in next week, and we'll be talking to Ralph Martiri. He's the Executive Director of the Center for Tax and Budget Accountability, or CBTA. And he's going to share an overview of CBTA's research, policy, and advocacy, and provide updates on the state of Illinois budget and how folks can get involved using data-driven research. So we're looking forward to a very lively discussion. And until then, see you next week. Take care. Thanks again, Eric.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.